Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Abby D and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 30th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 75 in the third paragraph, returning home to a place where we can be quiet. Through one paragraph ending, have we tried to make mortar without sand? And commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Joni C. for the 12 steps, Anne Marie M. for the 12 traditions, Lisa B. reading our text, and Susan S.H. reading page 164 at the closing. Susan G., thank you so much for being our backup reader today. The reference numbers for Wednesday, January 29th, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,118, 22,118, and for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,119, 22,119. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps. Thanks, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Joni C., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions. Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie. Hi, you're welcome. Hey, this is Anne-Marie M., compulsive overeater, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, a public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie M., for reading the 12 traditions for us this morning. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we are asking that you keep your sharing to the topic in the literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we're resuming our study of the Big Book on page 75 in the third paragraph, starting with returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet, reading through one paragraph, ending, have we tried to make mortar without sand? And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. And I will now ask Lisa B. to begin reading for us. Thank you, Lisa.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for your service. Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. The Big Book, page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reviewing the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Wow, such a powerful paragraph. These are very specific directions, you know, for me to follow in this process. And it's asking me to be willing to be quiet for an hour and that I'm going to be spending this time with a prayer. First of all, thanking God from the bottom of my heart that we know Him better. And, you know, I was always taught, we get closer to God when we're more honest with another alcoholic, another compulsive overeater. The more honest I am with another compulsive overeater, I get closer to God, you know. And the paragraph before were these wonderful 5-step promises, but they didn't really happen for me until, you know, I did this work and then the work that's coming up, you know, to follow. And, you know, when it says we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better, God, you know, my higher power is the prize. You know, abstinence is wonderful. Abstinence is the key to get me in the door. But the goal is not abstinence. You know, I find myself when I find God. And it reminds me of in We Agnostics where it says deep down within all of us, you know, is this power, and it has to get revealed and exposed, you know, get this stuff out of the way that's been blocking me off. And then, you know, I'm reviewing the first five proposals. I'm asking myself, you know, I'm looking over, am I truly powerless over compulsive overeating, over food? Has my life become unmanageable? And that unmanageability can be, you know, in the food or not in the food. Do I believe that there is a power greater than myself and that I need this power? Have I really made this decision to turn my will, my thoughts, my life, my actions over to the care of this power as I understand him? And have I made a searching and fearless moral inventory? And, you know, when it asks about, is there anything I've omitted? So it's a two-way, you know, I'm praying and I'm listening. You know, God knows everything already. Prayer changes me. You know, I don't pray to change God. I pray to change me. And God changes me. Prayer changes me. But when it asks me, you know, these questions about the stones properly being placed, have I skimped on anything? You know, it makes me think about in A Vision for You, where he says, let me find it. You know, he will think that I just had it opened up. Let's see here. He cannot picture life without alcohol. And it says, you know, he would give anything to take half dozen drinks to get away with it. So like, do I really see that? Like, I don't want to just try and do it on willpower and, you know, try and just push my way through this. You know, I really have to let this power come in and take over me. And is my work solid so far? Is everything there? You know, we learn from the very beginning of the book that I can't tell the true from the false. And I start to see how I got the ball rolling through this process of step four and step five. Am I really seeing all that? So that's what I have from it. And I hope that you guys got something from that. I look forward to hearing you all. I pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Lisa B., for getting us started today and reading our paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Dara F.
Yes.
Dara F.
Me.
Wanda R.
Wanda R.
Yes.
I only heard S.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G. in Tennessee. So I have Dara F., Wanda R., Chris G. in Tennessee. A couple more. Who else would like to?
I'm sorry, Nick in Tennessee.
All right, I know that. Okay, I have Nick F. in Tennessee, and then someone else came in I didn't hear.
Natalie S. in Indiana.
Natalie S. in Indiana. Okay, let's go ahead and start with that. So I have Dara S., Wanda R., Chris G. in Tennessee, Nick F. in Tennessee, Natalie S. in Indiana. All right, let's start with Dara F. Just go ahead and let us know where you're calling from. Thanks so much. Go ahead.
I had some muting issues. This is Dara F., like as in Frank, and I'm calling from Virginia. And I had some trouble with these instructions. I had my will come in. I was done. I felt like I had given my fifth step, and it was a lot of work. It was a lot of, it was rewarding, and it was wonderful, and I greatly appreciated my sponsor. But I thought, sit there for an hour after all this? I mean, I want to go cook dinner. I want to go rush around. I want to go do my list. I've been, you know, I've been off on my routine for a certain amount of time at this point. So this wasn't an easy instruction for my will to take. But
I did sit still. I probably sat still for about a half an hour, which was probably the best I could do at that moment, and that was okay. But what I highlighted was we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we may know him better. So that's really important because this whole, all these steps are for me to get to know God better. And if I have been thorough, then I'm starting to get a connection with my higher power that I didn't have before. And step two, I was just acknowledging that I was willing to believe in a power greater than myself, but I didn't go that much into detail and so on and so forth. Now's the part where I'm starting to develop a relationship with my higher power, which gets deeper and deeper as I work these steps. And going over the steps, the first five steps, my sponsor said, call me and let me know if there's anything you've omitted. I think for me, there will always be something that I've omitted because I'm in the process of growing. And even though I work through steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, there's a lot that of growth that I take in step two and in step three of getting a stronger belief in my higher power and of turning my will and my life over to the care of God, you know, on a daily basis. So I don't know that process of doing one through five is ever over for me. But I like the promise that we shall walk a free person at last. And if our work is solid so far. It's for me, just being willing to follow directions in this program is, and not like say, well, I'm an exception. I could work my way around that. Big one. Okay, thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Dara F. in Virginia. Thanks so much for sharing. And next up, we have Wanda R. Let us know where you're calling from, followed by Chris G. in Tennessee. Go ahead, Wanda. Wanda R., press star 1 to unmute. All right.
Hi, I'm Wanda R., and I am so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having this meeting. I hope everybody has a great day. You know, life is very unexpected, and for the third time I got COVID, and now I got long-term COVID, and I have to consult constantly with my higher power, a practice that I started a long time ago after I did about four steps, and so fifth steps, and then, you know, follow the directions and of quiet time, and now I spend quiet time consulting my higher power and going to meetings and talking to my sponsor and my food plan and, you know, making sure I work the program. And my food plan has changed. And because of the long-term COVID and the lack of energy, it's amazing how it affected me. I'm in consult with, you know, my meeting friends and talk about how I have to have 3 meals and 2 light snacks to sustain my energy, and that's new. So it feels like a different kind of meeting, because I used to be very 3 meals a day with nothing in between. And then another thing is that I feel like I'm on vacation because I'm doing very little. I'm basically relaxing, and I don't do chores. I just spend a lot of time relaxing and reading or watching TV or maybe even talking a little on the phone, but I'm having fun doing it, and that's brand new, and that's like a whole addition to how I feel about myself and my life, and I'm enjoying my husband, and it was a blessing, and I keep consulting my higher power and know that I have the strength to survive. Thank you so much, and I hope everybody has a wonderful day, and God bless you all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Wanda R. Next up, we have Chris G. from Tennessee, followed by Nick S. All right, Chris G., go ahead.
Good morning. I'm glad you're all here. Thank you for coming. The thing that interests me, I've read this paragraph before about being quiet for an hour. I knew about that. But if you read it carefully, it says, I went home and took the book off the shelf. Well, what does it tell me? I had to go home to get the book off the shelf. Well, it tells me that the book's right next to the dictionary, and it's right next to the cookbook that Mom gave me. It's a reference book. It's a book that I refer to when I want information. And what information do I want today? I want to know what is in the 5 steps and make sure that I did it right. I don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want to. So if I was baking a cake, I would want to make sure that I measured the ingredients. But I'm not baking a cake. This is something that's going to last maybe a long time. I want to get it right so it doesn't fall apart in an earthquake. I want to get it right so it looks good. I want to get it right so it has staying power, not so it'll just, be gone tomorrow, but so it will still be there. And where did I get the book from? Not the library. I'm not taking it back to the library. It's something I own, something that I know where the recipe is that I want to use. It's on page 64, I think. But, I know how to find the recipe that I want to use, I've used before, and I want to get it right. So it tells us a lot about, maybe we got the book from somebody as a gift, or maybe we went out and bought it, but we own the book. So, and the book tells us what to do. And we have to refer back to it. So I guess that's what I wanted to say. And so we'll thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. And I thank God from the bottom of my heart that I've got this book with the recipe in it, and maybe I'll learn something more about making mortar and cement. So thank you very much for letting me share. Pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris G. from Tennessee. And next up, we have Nick S. in Tennessee, and then Natalie S. in Indiana. All right. Nick F., go ahead.
Good morning, family. This is Nick F. in Tennessee. Can I be heard, Abby?
Yes, you can.
All right. Good morning. Good to hear your voice. Nick F. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater, 220-pounder. You know, this book is telling me to pause. This book is telling me about permanent recovery. Ain't shit wrong with these instructions in this book, but it was everything wrong with me. In the food, I was one of the most hideous creatures that I could even imagine. You know, it's telling me, like, for real, after I had done this, initially I wanted to, you know, take a deep breath and just, you know, walk, do something else. I didn't want to pick the book back up. I didn't want to pause and look. But I did what it told me to do, because the first time I came through the big book, this wasn't about cupcakes and ding-dongs. It was about alcohol and pills, and I lost custody of my kids. I didn't have nothing left. I lost my car, the dog, the house, and everything. So I didn't come to the big book in OA because of my eating. I came because I knew that the book had power. It had a power that I could not ever dream of. And honestly, I didn't get custody of my kids back because I stopped drinking Jack and because I stopped taking Vyvanse and Adderall. I got custody of my kids because I was abstinent. And for the first time ever in my life, I knew how to feed myself. So when I got the vision, y'all was telling me about the book, and y'all was saying you could be abstinent and miserable. I was like, oh, my God, these people are saying exactly what I need to hear. So I went through it again, and miraculously, it has done for me again what I could not do. It talk about permanent recovery, ensuring my immunity when nothing else fails. I had lost my voice. I had was losing hope quick, and it said talk to somebody else. You see, when I'm recovered, I need to talk to people that's in the food for me. And when I'm in the, when I was in the food, I needed to talk to recovered people. I talked to somebody who reminded me that tying my shoe used to be an Olympic event. Getting in the shower was an Olympic event. In this book, I follow the instructions. Like this morning, I was just listening as we said the steps 1 through 12. It's in order for a reason. There is power and fire and hope in this deal. And so I guess with that, I pass. Thank you, family, for letting me share.
Nick F., thank you so much. That was Nick F. from Tennessee. And next up, we have Natalie S. in Indiana. And then I'll take another lineup and share a fabulous announcement. All right, Natalie S., go ahead.
Thank you so much. So I'm Natalie S. from Indiana. And I'm so grateful for the analogies in this book and what struck me out of the readings that, you guys have been sharing over the last, couple of weeks about steps 1 through 5. We call step 4 a house cleaning and an inventory, and, you know, there's these home references. And I felt like, in retrospect, I've been in program 2 years. My disease is very sneaky. As a teenager, anorexic, I could manage my life. As a mid-50s woman, I was left with a walker and unable to walk and have to come back from that. However, I see now that for me, in step 3, I have to recognize, as someone else shared, that somewhere inside of me, there is an idea of God or higher power. And so I have to be willing to recognize that. And what I equated it to was as if that step 3 is an invitation. I'm living in a house that's full of clutter and trash, and I'm sitting there, and somebody I want to impress, somebody I want and know can help me, and I want to show a healthy perspective to, sends me an invitation and says, hey, I want to come and stay at your house. Can I come tomorrow or maybe 2 days from now? And I respond, yes, yes, please come. And then I look around me and I see all this crap and trash and resentments, and like, then I become overwhelmed. So step 4, I have to figure out a way to get rid of all of that. I try to make lists. I try to do it on my own. I do all of this. And then in step 5, somebody comes and says, maybe you should hire a cleaning service to help you. And they come and they help me clean out the trash of my past. And pretty soon I can breathe again. I can see the space. I can let light in. And I know that when that power comes to visit me, when that visitor comes to visit me, I can sit in the chair and relax. And what I can do is have a conversation. But it doesn't end there for me. What I've discovered is that every day, multiple times a day, if I'm not following these steps and I get irritated and don't call somebody right away and do a 10 step or something, my house starts getting cluttered and dirty again. And I'm just so grateful to the people that wrote this book that God had inspired them, in my belief, to use these timeless analogies that just help us to see and relate and then move forward. And so I want to encourage everybody to just, you know, do what you can today and leave the rest up to God. What I can't do, I just say, God, help me do it. And somehow I don't understand it. I can't engage my mind. I have to learn and me how I can trust and rely on him to even do the work that I intend to do. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Natalie S. in Indiana. Appreciate your share. All right. I have a fabulous announcement. So November 7th through the 9th, there's a Vision for You convention. It's back. And it's called 2025 Power of the Big Book Weekend. It's in 281 days, 11 hours, and 28 minutes. So if you go on the Vision for You website, on the homepage, you'll see the countdown and a little box underneath that says more info. You can click on that, and registration is open. So registration is open. There is a link on there for the airport, I mean for the hotel, which is the Newark Liberty International Airport Marriott, and that's in Newark, New Jersey. So registration's open. It's on the Vision for You website on the homepage, and just click more details. So that is open. All right, and we're going to take another lineup. I just want to let you know that we read on page 75 today in the third paragraph, returning home, we find a place where we can get quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done and commenting on that one paragraph. So although we do value your experience, before I take another lineup, I just ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to get in this wonderful lineup this morning?
Larry K.
Rivka R.
Larry K. Rivka R.
Reva P.
Reva P.
Ken W.H.
Bonnie B.
Ken W.H. Someone B.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. All right, let's start with that. So I have Larry K., Rivka R., Reva P., Ken W.H., and Bonnie B. All right, Larry K., go ahead. Larry, press star one to unmute.
There we go. Abby, thanks for your service. This is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive reader calling from Chicago. You know, we're given a blueprint. We're given a instruction manual here. And I don't know about you, but I never really wanted to follow instructions. And matter of fact, I remember many years ago getting a grill, but I had to assemble it. Now, instructions, that's for you folks, not for me. You know, I'm just going to get all this stuff out and I'm just going to intuitively try to figure this out. Well, it didn't go very well because I didn't follow the instructions. And so you can imagine. And I think through a sense of selfishness and entitlement that's for other people to follow instructions, you know, because when I try to achieve an outcome without following the instructions, it's kind of like setting out on a road trip without a map or a GPS. You know, I intend to come to the to the Vision for You conference. You know, God willing, we'll see, right? But I've got to take some actions. You know, Abby just gave some instructions. We're going to continue to get some instructions. The thing is, I don't want to do those things, right? I don't want to follow instructions. And the same went for me early in this process. And unfortunately, I believe that God needed for me to learn the idea of committing myself to something and following the instructions precisely. Not perfectly, but certainly precisely. So I'm going to sign up for the convention. At some point, I'm going to have to get a hotel. I probably will have to get a flight from Chicago. I think there's probably one or two. You know, I have to take these actions, obviously, and the same goes here. Because if I don't have a destination in mind, any road will get me there. And so that's what I did. I'll drift along aimlessly. It's like trying to, you know, you can set the sail and enjoy the journey, but without a clear sense of direction, I'm going to drift aimlessly. And that's what I did in OA. I don't know about you, but for me, I drifted aimlessly because there were things that I just wasn't willing to do. There were instructions that I read, but I wasn't willing to take them. I wanted the cliff notes or the spark notes. I'm dating myself here, right? I don't want to read the full book. I just want to cut corners. You can't cut corners in this idea of building a relationship with a higher power of your own understanding. That is my experience. That is my experience over a number of years here. And so I encourage everybody to continue to follow these instructions. And it's the easier, softer way, frankly, is when we follow these instructions. And we learn a spiritual skill set of doing that. And then we begin to act like an adult. I'm no longer a five-year-old emotionally that's just, you know, drifting aimlessly. With that, I pass. Thanks, Amy.
Larry Kay, thank you so much for your share. Larry Kay from Illinois. All right, next up we have Rivka R. and then Reva P. Rivka, go ahead.
Good morning. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive eater in Baltimore. I hope my voice holds out because I've had the flu. Anyway, we thank God from the bottom of our hearts that we know Him better. That was something that, I mean, over all the decades in program, I didn't really get the impact of that in any way, and I didn't really understand that. Like, you know, like, what does it mean to know God better? God's not knowable. Like, how could I know Him better? And like, so many years, I just wanted to be thin. Like, I wanted to control myself better. That's what I really wanted. But to know God better, like, I just glossed over that incredible statement. Like other ones, like, God is everything or He's nothing. What's my choice to be? Which is now, you know, how I, you know, live my life. I mean, I say that statement out loud because that's where, like it says, that's where I get free. So knowing God better when this time around, when I did the steps, became my clarion call. Like, that's what I needed. And it started with just a little, you know, card that I wrote, like, you know, that I said in the morning, like, you know me and love me, help me know you and love you. And beginning to see everything through my own eyes as being the illusion and through God's eyes as being the reality. And realizing that knowing God better means being fully present to reality without judgment. Like, that to me was not even something that I could even fathom. But now I can say, wow, you know, that is what means knowing God better, being fully present to reality, knowing there is reality, that it's not my little, you know, judgment self, and it means being aware that God sees me and understands me and is caring for me, and whatever's happening is for my benefit, and being able to trust. Like, that was the huge new word for me, trust. Like, I can finally trust that God holds the solution to all my problems and that I can simply rely on God. And God takes me out of the darkness and the bondage and the delusion of myself and into the light. And it's such a glorious, incredible experience to be able to have that, to be able to say, you know, God, thank you for letting me know you better. Just clearing the blockages to you and being able to have that connection and that relationship. And that reality today is just worth everything. So with that, I pass, and thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, Rivka R. from Maryland. All right, next up we have Reva P. followed by Ken W. H. Reva P., go ahead.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. For me, too, the sentence that's really striking me today is thank God from the bottom of my heart that I know him better, which for me is a reminder, why do I need to know God better? I really didn't come here to be Miss Spiritual, you know, guru. That really wasn't my goal. My goal was to have the food quiet and have those crazy voices that drove me crazy and back to the food every time to get quiet. So this for me is a reminder that lack of power is my dilemma, and the whole point of these steps are to remove my blockages. And when the blockages are removed, it's like opening the shade of a window. Then God comes in, God's light, God's power. So here I have just done all this work on step 4 and shared it in step 5. And I love the instructions and the specificity here, because for me, it was the same. It was like this before and still today. Doing sort of comes easier. You know, give me instructions. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do this. But to sit quiet, and maybe I would have sat quiet for 2 minutes, but it says to sit quiet for an hour. So I pause. So this book is starting to teaching me balance. There's a balance of doing, and there's a balance of quiet. And, you know, God is always in the pause. And to just absorb and savor what I've written, check if I've omitted anything. And it's just such a great reminder that the extent to which I am honest, the extent to which I share with myself, another person, and my higher power, all the things that block me, that's the extent to which power will flow in. So I really need to be thorough, not perfect, but thorough and honest, because it's like really like opening the channel. The more I open it, the more can come in. And I just love, you know, after this, we're going to be doing again, 6, 7, 8, 9. So I love the specific instructions. And sometimes for me, yeah, the reminder to pause, especially by the time I get to step 11. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Reva P. in Toronto, Canada. Next up, we have Ken W.H. followed by Bonnie B. And then we'll probably have time for one or two more. All right, Ken W.H., go ahead.
Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I'll just share briefly that this paragraph on page 75 reminds me to go back to page 62, and there it talked about we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. And then it talked about building the triumphal arch through which we passed into freedom. And then it's here in this paragraph, it's basically repeated that we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. And that's been my experience. I also have a vivid imagery of that. My father was in Paris on VE Day, 1945, and I have pictures of Charles de Gaulle driving through the Arc de Triomphe on that day when the war ended. And it's a vivid, very vivid image for me. And that's almost a sense of what I've experienced. I have pictures in my brain of me walking through a triumphal arch that these steps in this process have built, been a part of the building project, and I am so very, very grateful for that. And I invite anyone else to maybe bring those two paragraphs together, the triumphal arch, and that it's about God. And God's the one who puts the cement all together, puts the foundation in place, and that's why I'm here today. And I'm going to cut this short. I just received word that 60 people died in Washington. Planes crashed. A mid-air crash. So I'm just kind of heartbroken. And so I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing, Ken W.H. Thanks so much. All right, next up we have Bonnie B. in Florida. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Abby, for leading the meeting, and thanks for all the beautiful shares. Bonnie B. in Florida, gratefully recovered today by the grace of God, living in the sunlight and thankful. So when I read this paragraph, there's a handful of things that jump out to me. And the first one is, one of our principles, which is honesty. I can't connect to God if I'm not honest with Him and with other people. And when the direction says, find a spot and sit down and be quiet for an hour, it's the invitation by God to draw close, to hear Him. Sort of for the first time, if I'm honest, my MO is busy. I just like being busy. So the idea of sitting quietly, if I was going to sit, I was going to be reading books about God, maybe memorizing scripture. I'd be doing God stuff, but not necessarily being quiet. And if I'm not quiet, there's no way that God can speak. I know that I can't have more than one thought in my head at a time. And I was pretty good at multitasking and convincing myself that I gave God, like, the time that He was supposed to have or the time that was necessary to connect with Him, but I really wasn't. I was doing all sorts of different things and just convincing myself of something that wasn't really true. I know that, again, all of this is for me. It says you need to sit down. They were giving me instructions to sit down. Sit down, be quiet. Listen without a rest. Just listen and see what God says. Now I want to sit down. I know that if I'm not quiet with God, I'll grab a cup of mushroom coffee or something and just sit in a lanai and just be still and invite God in. Nothing else. Because the presence of God is what brings peace to me. And in order to live in that space of peace, everything else has to be removed. And that's what the 10th step gives me. If there's something that's inside of me that doesn't look like God, sound like God, think like God, or make me want to imitate God, I'm separated from God again. But I can't know what that is if I'm not quiet. And my MO is to not be quiet because there's so much chatter all over the place for all sorts of different things. And so on a daily basis, I do thank God multiple times throughout the day that I can hear Him as I've never heard Him before, and that when He checks me on the inside, I have the next right thing to do. But this is an instruction, and the instruction is you need to be still. You need to be still so that I can talk to you. You have to stop for a moment. Pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. All right, we have time for two more shares, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every Thursday.
And
others may share. Ross G.
Lisa B. Anne Marie M.
All right, I got Ross G. and Anne Marie M. Ross, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for, stepping on their toes like that. I'm Ross G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I do, and when people do that, it bothers me. So it tells me that three fingers are pointing at me when I'm pointing at. Oh, gosh. So I'm recovered in Palmdale, California. And what I'd like to say is that this paragraph gives me an opportunity
to rest. It is a, I have written in my big book that this fourth step inventory, this fifth step inventory is like a rite of passage to the full membership of Overeaters Anonymous or whatever anonymous program. And it is a sacred work. And it gives me a time to breathe in and out and rest and take a look at all of the person that I brought. I this is all of that stuff that I read to my sponsor or whoever, I brought into the relationships that I was in. I brought all of that, and those are the reasons that I ate. And if I, like, it's like we've been talking about honesty. If I'm honest, if I didn't omit anything, I am certain to be free. It's going to take time, because in the next few paragraphs, I'm going to be looking at why I did these things and what was a result of it. And I'm going to be able to ask God to free me of those things first. But what I have done is I have built an honest and true relationship with God and another person. And I've looked at all of these flaws. I've looked at all of this anger. I looked at how I've treated others. I've looked at what I'm afraid of. And I have seen through the prayers, through the fear prayer, through the sick man prayer, that God can be with me in all of that and take it all away. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. That's why there's a 10th step. That's why there's all these prayers throughout the book. But it has shown me who I really am. And because it's like that tells us that it's a fact-finding process, I don't have to beat myself up over it. I have over certain things. But I'm reminded that I'm a child of God, that I can be quiet, I can relax and take it easy, and that can account on an intuitive thought or action before I move on for anything else. And that's moving on a little bit. But today I practice this work very solidly. So, and I believe the stones are in place in my life, one day at a time, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. And next up, we'll have our final share from Anne Marie M.
Thank you so much, Abby, and I too apologize for jumping in. I tried to get in the second batch and kept calling my name over and over, and realized my mute button was on. No excuse, but I apologize. My name is Anne Marie M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Through God's grace and by doing the work in this book, following these instructions, as you know, these instructions are so clear, especially and this one paragraph on the bottom of page 75. I just maybe there's a reason why I went last, because I heard so many good things. The first share, I get closer to God when I get honest with other compulsive overeaters. And I realized that, last night when I was doing my evening review, that, I put on this persona that I have everything organized, and I am so disorganized in my home. And I pray for that a lot. I do that a lot of prayer of God helping me to be more organized. I have ADD. It's difficult to stay on task. And so, I needed to share that. I really did. And I was glad that I did. I also heard that I'm not the only one that has difficult sitting down still, and even still to this day, doing my meditation, I sometimes just have a difficult, like I said, I have ADD, and it's difficult to quiet my mind, and I need to ask God to help me with that, to help me quiet my mind. I love that there's a prayer right in here that we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. We start off any conversation with God, I thank Him. I do my meditation in the morning with praise to God and thanking Him always, for this day. And the value of this book, I heard someone say that there's power in this book, and that's, we're going to go to Newark in November, and that's, it's the power of the big book. And this book is just has, for me, a way to live. It's just a way to live life, to not.
Next time.
Oh, thank you so much, Abby. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie M. And it is quite all right. We are an enthusiastic bunch here this morning on a life or death errand. All right. So it is 7:55 a.m. Eastern Time. So we're going to close. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, January 30th, 2025, is 2225. That's 22125. All right, and we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and so keep you until then. Thanks, Susan.
Yeah, it's Susan S. H. in Ohio. Yeah, our book is meant to
be
suggestive
only. I'm sorry, Susan S. H.
Yeah.
Susan okay. G's our backup reader today. Okay, Susan S.H., sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay. Recovered compulsive overeater, St. Mary's, Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.